love are summarized by that word father. In Aramaic, it would be Abba, which means papa, daddy. The love, the caring, the compassion of the Most High are like a dedicated, devoted parent. And hallowed means sacred, holy, value, highly honored. Then comes the prayer for God's governance, the Heavenly Father's rule and reign all throughout the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there will come a day, the scripture says, when the Lord God's plans and purposes will be supreme and nothing will be able to destroy or overthrow the divine order for the earth. Next, God's daily gifts, day-by-day gifts, are included, namely bread, standing for nourishment, sustenance, enough to eat for body, mind, and spirit. And this is why hungry people are special, or of special concern to Christians, and why preachers and elders and all sorts of Christian leaders often remind us to give, especially to the Christ-based agencies which provide food for the hungry. Here it is from Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 13, printed on the back of your worship leaflet if you'd like to follow along. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't give up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives." By the way, in the Greek, these next 3 phrases are the ing form. "For everyone who keeps on asking receives, everyone who keeps on seeking finds, and to the one who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," I love that phrase, "how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Some of you asked how General Assembly went, our denominational General Assembly in Des Moines, Iowa, and I thought it was truly one of the best General Assemblies of the denomination that I've ever attended. I think Ruth would agree with that too. Lots of positivity, much genuine concern and love for one another. The reports were succinct and clear. There wasn't a lot of division or ill will. And things went smoothly. The fellowship was good and warm. And the workshops were excellent. Ruth and I went to one about how can our building serve to further ministry among us and among our community. And I won't be writing that up real soon. But the ideas, I think, were helpful. Ruth, any other quick thing to mention about General Assembly?
Well, the report on new churches was excellent.
Oh, yes.
We had a goal for 1,000 new churches by
1,004 new congregations planted and still going fine. And that goal, as Ruth said, was 2020, but it's now 2019. So we exceeded the goal and did so early. And praise God. Amen. Of those 1,004, ethnically, they're diverse. They might do things a little differently than we do them. They have to adapt to their own situation. We know that. So you're right. You were listening. Well, now let's turn to the hymn of invitation. You wish. Reverend Mary, thank you for everything, and thank you for preaching last week and for worship leading today. Father Barry Foster, a priest in St. Joseph, Missouri, parked his car on a steep slope of pavement close to the church where he served. His little Cairn Terrier was lying on the rear seat, and the dog couldn't be seen by anyone outside the vehicle. And Father Barry got out of the car and turned to lock the door with his usual parting command to the dog, stay. And he ordered again loudly, stay. Well, an elderly man was watching the performance with some interest, and grinning, he suggested, Father, why don't you just put on the emergency brake? Those were sympathy laughs, but I appreciate them. Our subject today is prayer, and to the mind of a non-believer, watching someone pray might be equivalent to watching somebody say stay to their parked car. A useless, empty exercises in their mind, but to the believer, prayer is one of the most powerful, albeit mysterious, forces at work in the world. And it is crystal clear that Jesus believed in prayer. His disciples noticed when he especially entered into communication with God, and that's why they asked him to teach them to pray. To this request, Jesus gladly agreed. And we can divide his formula for prayer into a pattern: persistence, profit, and persistence in prayer. Well, let's first look at the pattern that we have for praying. When his followers asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he gave them this wonderful model prayer, a framework. We call it the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, as we said, this is Luke's version of the prayer, and it's abbreviated just a little bit from Matthew, but it's the very same blueprint. It starts with the acknowledgement of who God is. A request is included that our daily needs be met, that our sins will be forgiven, and that we'll be rescued from the power of the tempter. And I believe that Jesus is implying that if we don't have any other prayer in our hearts or on our lips, that one alone covers most of what we truly need. And it starts with a measure of worship, a portion of praise directed Godward. Father, hallowed be your name. It might be interesting to take a survey of how many of us pray an entirely different prayer each time we pray. And personally, I think that would be a real challenge, to come up with a different intercession each time we turn our hearts toward heaven. 365 days each year would require 365 different prayers, probably more than that, with the conditions and ins and outs and hills and valleys of the lives we live. Now, if you do that, well and good. I'm not knocking it. I don't think it's necessary, though. God knows the desires of our hearts, even before we ask, even before we mention them. The most important aspect of prayer may be the very fact that we open up our souls to God and simply pray that we would be filled and directed by the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we're saying, "Dear Lord, I'm leaning on you. Dear God, I need your life to live in me." And the really important issue may not be the words we use precisely, but the fact that we take the time to tilt our hearts toward heaven and invite the Heavenly Father to be active in our lives. I suppose there was a time when I was a little bit more judgmental of the churches that use a lot of ritual and repetition. But you know, if you're like me, then you might agree that we need to be reminded. We need reminders at least once per week. Be reminded of the very basics of our faith. And if we pray the Lord's Prayer together out of memory, if we sing some of the same choruses and say the same praises, it's not all bad. Sure, it can get tiresome now and then, but it's not all bad. We do well to get those very basic things ingrained into the fiber of who we are, woven into the deepest threads of our being. And if we didn't have our little rituals and repetitions, somehow, you know what? I think we'd miss them. Reminds me of the local Episcopal priest. Ruth and I served to make some money in seminary at an Episcopal church up in northeast Iowa. The local Episcopal priest, Father Frank, he was wearing his clerical collar as he visited his wife in the hospital following his wife's appendectomy. At the end of their husband and wife chat, Father Frank leaned down and gave her a somewhat lingering kiss goodbye. And the lady in the next bed watched in amazement. Father Frank left the room and the lady said, "You know, I've been a loyal Catholic all my life and never once did my priest give me such personal attention." Repetition may bless our lives more than we realize. And I don't think we need to be unique and original every time we go to the Lord in prayer. I think that's part of the reason why the Savior gave us this basic pattern, this basic blueprint, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Well, we have a pattern, and prayer is also a matter of persistence. Persistence, persistence. Here's an especially interesting teaching from our Lord. He gives us a hypothetical situation. A friend drops in unexpectedly, very late at night, around the midnight hour. You have nothing to serve him, but nearby lives another friend. So even though it's midnight, you trot over to the other friend's home, knock on his door, asking him to loan you bread. Well, at first, you're ignored, but you keep on knocking. And finally, for no other reason but to get rid of you, he gets up and gives you the bread. Jesus says that prayer is like that, except God is a lot more willing to answer us out of love divine. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So much of the key is persistence. Persistence is a powerful force in every area of our lives. The magnificent world-class golfer Gary Player had one of the smoothest, most fluid swings in the golfing world. Occasionally, a fan in the gallery would comment to Mr. Player, "You have such a natural swing." And the great one would answer, "Thank you, and I work 10 hours a day, 6 days per week, 51 weeks a year to make sure it stays so natural." Practice, persistence, staying with it. How do we learn to pray? Well, we keep at it. The following is from Theodore Geisel, also known as Dr. Seuss. Oh, you're getting an A+ for the day, one and all. "There once was an oyster whose story I tell, who found that some sand God got into his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him much pain, for oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now, did he berate the working of fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse the government, call for a recount? Did he lie down and demand a dollar amount? No. As he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, "If I cannot remove it, I'll try to improve it." So the days rolled by, as days always do, and the years rolled by, for that's their way, too, and the oyster wound up in somebody's stew. But that small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, was a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? And he goes on, what couldn't we do if today we'd begin and keep at it and think and keep working again and pray with all of the things that get in our way, with all of the things that get under our skin? Do you have any grittiness that could be turned into pearls? I'm going to read you some facts about a great leader, and I bet you'll guess who I'm talking about. When he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality, and he had to work at age 7 and a half to help support them. At the age of 9 years old, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. At 23, he went into debt to become partner in a small store. At 26, his business partner died, leaving him with a huge debt that took him years to repay. At 37 years of age, on his third attempt, he was elected to Congress. But 2 years later, he failed in his re-election campaign. At 41, his four-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for the U.S. Senate and lost. At 47, he failed as a vice presidential candidate. At 49, he ran once more for Senate and lost again. At age 51, he became President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. A man listed among the greatest leaders of all time. Boy, you know, some people get all the good breaks, don't they? And finally, Jesus says there's profit in prayer. Now, maybe the word profit sounds a little too crude or coarse or harsh or worldly. But our Lord's very clear in this passage that when we hang in there with our prayers, when we stay with it, God will meet our needs. And yes, there's often mystery in the Lord's responses. Heaven surprises us sometimes with divine answers. What we think we want and what we actually need to receive may be different, but God can be trusted entirely with all our lives. A little girl crawled up into her father's lap while he was reading the newspaper and told him how much she wanted him to build her a dollhouse. I got that treatment from my daughters many years ago. But it just so happened I was at a garage sale and I saw a pre-built dollhouse that could handle Barbies with about 9 divided rooms with little doll furniture available for placement in those rooms. And man, did I luck out. Well, Papa, as he was reading the paper, just sort of gave a grunt and said, "Okay, all right, yes." And he gave that affirmation in order just to complete his paper reading, not to really fulfill his daughter's wishes. And Papa forgot about the promise until he walked into her room one evening and he saw that she had packed all her dolls and all her doll furniture, getting everything ready to move into the new dollhouse. And when he asked her about it, she said simply, "Dad, you told me that you'd build it. You promised, and I know you'll keep your promise." You know, that's a pretty good definition of faith. Our Creator has promised to hear our prayers, to meet our needs, and somehow, in some way, someday, and it may be above, all of our prayers will be answered. Our part is to keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing that God is at work to do what is best for us all. Amen.